happy Thanksgiving past, and I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday with family and a few friends.
Yeah, you're right. Only a few, but it was great. I hope you did too. Ours was great.
Yeah, thank you. My daughter's been here for a month with my granddaughter, so all is well in the Knapp Ford household. So we're very grateful for every day they're here, and they're upstairs in class, and Courtney is, you know, doing her business on the phone. Simon, her husband, went back and drove back to Nashville, but left the two of them with us. So I get to go and either swim or play golf at 3 o'clock with Juliet.
We're not doing either one of those here. It's a cold. It's cold in KC today, man.
Yeah, it's
not today.
I used to hate to talk to my friends from Florida. They were like, oh, it's gorgeous in 75. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it's been, you know, we had the hurricane here. They were there for the first week of the hurricane, so they got to see that. But we've had absolutely phenomenal weather ever since. It's been literally 75 to 80 every day, and a little windy to start with. But now, last 2 days of fishing was fabulous, and the winds were down. So November's a beautiful day in Florida, a beautiful month in Florida. And most people don't get a chance to enjoy it because they're not here. But if you ever do, and you choose a spot other than Arizona, this is, you know, November is a beautiful month. December starts to get cold, and then January can be, you know, fairly cool. So, but I've been learning to enjoy it. So you've had some time now. You've had almost 30 days. You had a big month in terms of the market. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll start, Rob. We met earlier today when we covered this, and I sent to you a document I wouldn't be expecting you to see before this, because I probably only 10 or 15 minutes ago, but I sent a summary of a SWOT analysis I did for our team under my leadership function.
Good.
So what we have done is we have tried to talk about what we want to achieve out of the business plan, what's different this year that maybe wasn't present a year ago. Talk about each of our roles, really address our strengths, weaknesses, and all that. We haven't put any plans in motion from that, because we just finished it, completed it, and used this, our meeting today with you, just to say, here, let's at least get that part done, and then we'll start talking about ways to attack it in our business plan for 2021. But I would say we feel like we're kind of ready to turn the page, you know, into 2021. We're not really rushing to get anything really, you know, buttoned up before the end of the year, I guess. I mean, our production and the rest of that stuff is on a pretty good glide path. And so I think we're really wanting to focus on our business planning as a team, and then for, you know, all of our areas for 2021. I think that's what's on our mind.
Good. And that's where you should be right now, November, getting ready for the new year, getting a jump on the world. One of the things to do is to kind of go through Supernova, based on the 5-star model, and say to each of the directors, what are we doing different from what the pure Supernova is? Okay. So what are we doing differently than what Rob would recommend? And why? Okay.
I guess I'll speak for me. I don't understand what you mean.
Oh, okay, good. All right. The answer is, I just had a team that said, Oh, we've done the 12-month calendar instead of the 24-month calendar.
Okay.
And I explained to them why the 24-month calendar was created versus a 12-month, and why no one has explained to me why it isn't a better idea. Okay? So the 12-month calendar is fine, but it's not a better idea than the 24-month calendar. So therefore, if the 24-month calendar is better in five different ways, why wouldn't you adopt the 24-month calendar? Okay. So one of the things I'm saying is become cognizant of your how you are adjusting from the original model and why. Okay. So you become aware more. It's an awareness of what we're doing to potentially take shortcuts. And what I find is the shortcuts are generally centered around they're better for you, but not better for the client. Right? So it's just a kind of a checkup to make sure that our rituals are aligning with the original model rather than us adjusting for things that we think are better, but not because they're better for the client, but they're better for us. Meaning, I think we can just call these people quarterly.
Okay.
Right? That's one of the simplest, easiest traps, right? That's trap number one. Every piece of it has a little trap that you can fall into, which makes it easier for you,
yeah,
but not better for the client.
Okay. So are you saying that that's something that we should just discuss and kind of own up to, and then
right.
What are we going to do about it? Is that kind of what you're...
Yeah, I think it's kind of to tell the truth, face the facts. It's like if you're doing a self-analysis of yourself, you know, let's say you were going to do a self-analysis of yourself based on, let's say, the Jim Lehrer's model, which would be, you know, how do you take better care of yourself? Proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet. We know what he recommends. What's the standard? How are we varying from the standard? You know, we've made a decision that we won't work out for 60 minutes. We'll work out for 20 minutes. Okay. You know, we made a decision that we're not going to weigh ourselves every day. We're going to weigh ourselves every month. Okay. You know, each one of those decisions is somewhat letting yourself off the hook, you know, based on the, and we don't have to be perfect, but we want to know what we're doing and why we're doing it, and is it a rational decision? Larry Wilson used the term stop, challenge, and choose. Stop what you're doing, challenge your thinking, and choose to either maintain that decision or to make a new decision. So the first part of it is facing the truth. So when you're doing something like this, when you're building your your model, the most important thing is to know where you're starting from. So if you're building a business plan in each of the five stars, where exactly are we? Just like on a map, you better know where you are in order to get to where, and then where do we want to go? Then how are we going to get there? You better know where you are exactly. All right. And you know, so what I found was that their decision in this case was not based on anything other than it seemed easier to do it a 12-month calendar. And once we went through the rationale of why a 24-month calendar is a better idea, they then were fine. We'll do a 24-month. You see, they just adjusted for no reason. And I don't know that until they tell me. So I can't coach them and help them to make a better decision if I don't know what decision that they've made, if they're not frankly truthful with me and say, yep, we've adjusted your model and we've done it this way instead. And I go, okay, if that's better, then I'll fix my model, right? Okay. Because that's how Supernova came about, was because we experiment all the time. Supernova is constantly being adjusted to reflect what is the best decision every minute of every day to help you. So if you come up with something that's better, I want to know about it. And if not, what is your variation? And maybe we're doing something that isn't a huge thing, but could lead to a gradual disintegration of an important part of the model. Okay. So that's one of the exercises to do when you're doing your planning. Face the truth.
Right.
Janet, you don't look very excited about this at all.
You're on mute.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm listening to you. I agree with you. Okay. I'm just listening to your philosophy.
Okay. I just read, I'm trying to help some kids learn. And I was talking to a teacher and we were talking about metacognition. And it's a neat big term that just simply means thinking about your thinking. Thinking about your thinking. And so, Gary, as you coach your players, and each one of us coaches our kids and grandkids, one of the things to try and get them to do is to have them think about their thinking. Think about the process that goes into it, and which way they learn best is one of the ways to think about it, right? So if that's why we have you watch the video, read the workbook, and then ask questions about the lesson. Now, one of the things after talking to my sister-in-law, who's a really advanced teacher, she said, write down in the margin questions as you go through the lesson. And then if those questions aren't answered by the teacher, ask those questions. It will keep you interested in the material, and then it will make the teacher realize that you are interested and are a good student. So you do a couple of things. You build your own self-image as a student, which is really important, and you help yourself learn. So as adults, you know, we're just grown-up kids. So we learn probably the similar way that we did in college. So the question is, how did you learn best in college? And are you utilizing that in your everyday work learning process? So one of the things I'm going to change in my model is, as we go through the 12 weeks, I'm going to ask you in the future to each come up with three questions from the material that you don't understand or you'd like to discuss. that will get people to, I think, I love it when people have questions, but I don't make it, you know, like part of the assignment to come up with three questions. So that, I think that will make it more interesting for, obviously for me, but it makes more interesting for them too. One of the other things that I did this morning was make sure, this was a team that had been through training three times. This is their third time. And we are going right through the whole training again because it's a brand new team. You know, it's been reorganized several times. And one of the things that I wanted them to do was to actually script more of what they're doing. Because we tend to wing it. And if you're really going to be professional, you want to script everything that you do. So when you meet with a center of influence, they gave me an example of a center of influence that had given them an introduction, but refused to have the FA call the client. And you know, what was wrong with that? And I said, you know, I went through and explained the whole reason it was wrong, and then went through and coached them on the script they should use when speaking with a center of introduction and training them to give you proper introductions and why it makes sense, how to avoid the embarrassment of not following up, et cetera. So anyway, so I think those things can be.
I'm going to make a comment on that just so you know. You know, this is my second time going through it. Although the first time was so long, I mean, 9 years ago. So it's almost really like the first time.
Right.
But what I find is that I can look at the same stuff, and I've gone through this multiple times. And I just told the team this morning, looking at talking about a niche, and there was the comment there. I read it and you see it, but it requires many times, I think, to hear it, see it, and then all of a sudden something might really stick, you know, and it takes a while to have it really stick because you go through so much stuff in 3 months. And that's where I think we could then pick out, like, which I know that's what we're going to do here. I kind of read, see what we're doing over the next number of months. But the point is you just have to stay at it. Oh, the same material over and over, and then it'll stick. But I don't know when it'll stick or, you know, what it'll mean to everyone. It won't mean the same thing, but that's what it did for me. Stuff kind of has new meaning, Rob, and that's when I get excited about it, when I see it. But there's so much going on. Then the challenge is, which one will I focus on and really perfect? Right. That's what I feel like. That's the challenge, a challenge, should I say.
There's a saying that you never step into the same river twice. It's really an interesting analogy because you reading the material are a different person than you were 9 years ago. Physically, every 7 years, every cell in our body is replaced. So physically, you're a completely new human. And so your understanding of the material is based on your experience. You have 9 more years of experience to filter it through so that when you read the material, it's different for you than when you first read it. And if you do it over and over, you will get something out of it. For example, you could read my book once a year, every year, for the next 10 years, and I guarantee you will get something really important out of it every year. Like, wow, I didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's great literature, but because there's so much there that you can't absorb it all, even in one reading or in 10 readings. Larry Wilson's book, Playing to Win, I try and read it every year on the anniversary of his passing. as a tribute to him, but also as a way of reminding me of the tons of great, great information that's in there. It's brilliant. Okay. He was a brilliant guy, not because he was so brilliant personally, but because he had the ability to see information, pull it together and package it up and market it. It's almost like Steve Jobs and Apple Computer. Not a great inventor, but a master marketer. So he took this book, which is Helping Yourself to Happiness by Maxie Maltsby. All right. He was an insatiable learner, Larry was. So he took this book, which had no circulation, and he adopted it for himself and his audience, and he got literally hundreds of thousands of people to adopt Maxie's self-healing model. So it's a great book. If you haven't read it yet, read it. So anyway, learning is fascinating.
Hey, Rob, can you hear me?
Yes.
How you doing? I think it'd be helpful from my perspective if we got some of your feedback on this SWOT analysis that we went over this morning that Gary and Tim had put together, and we kind of riffed on it this morning, and it's got some really good info that you might get, you might pull some good perspective off of and give us some feedback on. And I was listening to you earlier, obviously. I've got some things that I've deviated from that I know I shouldn't be deviating from, but they're easy. Like there's a referral source, and she's referred me a couple of accounts, and some of them are family and one of them's a friend, and all the accounts on their own are below the minimum that I set for myself. And it's kind of mentally made me think, you know, one of my weaknesses, thinking that the value I bring isn't very valuable, even though, you know, since the last time we met, I took the CFP exam and passed it. So I'm happy to have that behind me.
Congratulations. And so,
thank you. And there's just things that we're doing as a team to add tremendous value. But then of course I kind of devalue my own worth to the team. I don't know why I do that. That's stupid.
You all do that.
When somebody says I've got, you know, $80,000 and I really need $1 million by in a couple of years, I'm just like, sure, I'll do that. What I do, the first thing that everybody says is don't take on these small accounts because they're going to monopolize your life. And it's just like, why'd I do that? But that's kind of an easy low hanging fruit on something that I did that I am trying to discipline myself not to do. But
what else? Let's go through the rift. What did you come up with?
Oh, the SWOT analysis?
Yep.
I think Gary's got it right in front of him.
Well, I can, although my screen locked because I'm trying to work on two screens. But do you have access to your email from where you're sitting, Rob?
Yep, I can get it on my phone while we're doing this. Go ahead.
I think that's maybe a way to go at it. I can kind of tell you maybe the things that I'm going to have to get away from the screen and do all sorts of stuff to kind of get this back in front of me again.
That's okay.
We'll kind of try that. And certainly Tim or Andrea or Jan, if you guys have something that you want to get in front of us here, this might be a good time to do that before we, you know, get to this SWOT analysis.
Rob, just what I would say, if you're asking for places or times or experiences where we've deviated from the plan, there have been circumstances, I would say, but it's not a function of, well, we think we have a better solution. It's more of a, under the current circumstances, man, it'd be really good to get that mastermind group put together, but it's just really difficult to implement those kinds of things with COVID and a lack of office and an unwillingness of people to meet those types of struggles. But I mean, in terms of just the core part of Supernova, I think we've been pretty diligent about our efforts to, you know, hear what you're saying and implement it like as proposed. Well, you know, that's what I would say.
Well, that's great to hear. And I you know, I have no, I mean, you guys have been very conscientious from my perspective. It's kind of those, one of those questions that I, you know, sometimes when the ego of the leader gets carried away, they don't want to, you know, they want to rebrand it. They want it to be theirs. And in their attempt to do that, they modify too much. You know, you can change the name and you can talk about it a little different, but you better not change the model so much that it, you can't even recognize it. Because you're probably compromising the client somewhere in the middle of that, because this is so client centric. So that was my point. But no, you know, from my perspective, you guys have been terrific. Okay, so I've got it, Gary, if you want to.
Sure. Well, I, and Andrea, I did, not that it matters, but I don't know how to get back in once I get logged out by using this card. So I'm not going to look at it and waste our time. But so I don't have mobile pass right now. So anyway, so what we were trying to do with that, Rob, is we were trying to highlight, you know, what the task was and not jump to solutions. That's what we were trying to do. And we've talked about doing this for 2 years or 3 years or whatever, and then I've never really gone through it for myself. And so that what you're seeing is what I did over the weekend. And then we met as a team this morning, went through the items, and I was given some suggestions to agreement or to eliminate or to amend. And I tried to do it under the, you know, the director piece. I mean, excuse me, under the leadership piece of director, because I felt like before we started going off on this business plan, we needed to kind of know what our struggles were or what our successes are and where we need to really focus our plan for 2021. So I think just in summary, what we found is, you know, the strengths, those kind of things are self-explanatory. I kind of told you the stuff that we're hitting. I think weaknesses, what we discovered is, what we talked about is one of those things that's there, which is kind of our, you know, our director of brands and then the office administrator, is that's the same issue I've had for the last 3 years. Like when I look at what I said I was going to do 3 years ago or 2 years ago, I highlighted a struggle, and that's that same issue. So as I said, it's very clear that I need to get that fixed somehow, because that's, you're looking at Andrea, who is responsible for 4 advisors and all of their challenges from compliance to insurance to all the one person. And it's just not, we can do better. So I feel like that. But I don't want to jump to conclusion, but I think in the weaknesses, that's one we figured was we all agreed upon. It was highlighted. Opportunities, the things that were important, I thought there were, Tim kind of mentioned that with the you know, the center of influence, the niche marketing, and some of that stuff that we've talked about. Those are enormous opportunities because we really haven't even kind of, you know, nicked the surface on that to any degree. We get a little bit of that and we start, but, you know, that's, we think as a big opportunity from the resources that we all have. And then I guess the last part there at the bottom, you see on threats, you'll see what I mentioned there on assets with some of our ultra high net worth relationships. That's a large part of our assets, not a huge part of our production, but it's a large part of our assets. And so something happens, something changes, part of that goes away. That's a threat. And then I see local threat from competition with some of those advisory firms. We don't feel like we're pressured. Wells Fargo, Merrill, they don't really, you know, we're all kind of playing the same, but there's those other ones that Creative Planning is a nationwide firm based here. It's got a lot of inroads to people doing kind of what they're not, they're doing what we're doing. And it's big. And Mariner is a company that has a, it targets the, our clients, the, you know, the kind of the business owners, high net worth people that offer them access to products and deals and that, that UBS won't touch because of compliance reasons. So that's some explanation. I guess in a summary, we will then spend our time focusing our on our plan about what we can do about what we see there, using our strengths and then exploiting them, you know, for opportunities. So
I think that's really important to recognize, Gary, and I think that's wonderful that you have. This was our Oxford Financial was a company in Indianapolis that's now become, I think, nationwide. And they went after, I mean, that's what created Supernova. They went after fee-only financial financial planning company that served people with 5 million plus. And they got into our, you know, our best clients, our executives with Eli Lilly. And they were picking them off. Now they'd say, oh, don't worry, Merrill Lynch, we'll still clear through you. We're just going to manage the client's financial planning experience. We're going to charge them 1% on all their assets, not their house, their cars, everything. Wow, 1% of their net worth. Okay. But we're going to help them on all financial decisions, but we still like you and don't you worry. Well, I knew, you know, that's like letting the Chinese into our universities. Yeah. Don't worry. We're not going to steal your intellectual property. We're not working for the Communist Party. We're just students. Right. Okay. And it wasn't 12 months later, they went to Schwab and took all the assets. And I knew it was coming. And so I did this massive pivot of my entire office to financial planning, multi-generational planning. And what they weren't doing is they weren't contacting their clients consistently. So I went to 1242 model, and there wasn't rapid response to the client's problem. So I went to a very concrete client experience in terms of, we're going to take care of your problem. We're going to call you when it's done. You're going to get phenomenal service, and we can identify it. And we were able to stop the spread. It's like COVID-19. We stopped the spread, and then we kicked them out, because we could do everything they were doing and we could do it at a fair price. So we won, but it took me 2 years of work to get the guys to skinny their practices down from 600 to 200. I didn't get them down to 100 at that time. This is 1994. Got them down to less than 200, and we were able to do 1242 and keep our best clients. But that was Supernova was based on a crisis. It wasn't Rob Knapp being a genius creative guy. It was a crisis. And had that crisis not come, I probably wouldn't have, I would have always done the things. We were doing everything, but that meant I had to do it. Okay. So I love the fact that you have that competition and you've identified it as a real threat. That's the greatest thing for you. So I thank Oxford every day for having been created, because competition makes us better. when you say everybody, we never worried about anybody else. There was no other competition. Competition was ourselves, right? But then Oxford showed up and made us wake up. And that was 94. And think about that. You know, you built a financial planning company in those days. That was something special. So today it's still as relevant as it ever was. But it's not revolutionary. It's kind of like the standard now. It's kind of like you better do it or you're out of business. So that's great news that they're there, because that will, and just go after them. I mean, be a crazy person, okay? When you talk about them, I mean, become obsessed about it in order to beat them.
This is kind of where, you know, and Tim is really helpful in this part, because Tim, coming from a local bank, has always been one that said that the markets where UBS is playing is something we need. And it's part of one of our pieces there on leveraging UBS. But he keeps just saying that we need to talk about the largest wealth management firm in the world. Here's what we can do. And, you know, he keeps talking about all that stuff. I guess what I kind of hear you saying. Andy used to work at Mariner. Okay. So I mean, we've got some insight into what can we exploit that they can't do? But what I heard you say was just be maniacal about it. And here's what you're address it head on. I'm just kind of like, oh, it's off to the, but address it head on and say, this is what we offer that you're not going to find. And here's why we think there's a value to this. You should appreciate it. You should know it and see it. And so, you know, let's talk about it.
When I give that three-part, you know, mantra, financial planning, 12-4-2, and rapid response, the question I always ask at the end, and you should script it and ask it exactly the same way, you ask, how does that compare to what you're getting now? If you're prospecting. And if not, how does that sound? And if you don't get a wow from it, you're not using the right words. So you want to script it and then test yourself and preach it and tell people it and see if you're getting a wow. If you're not getting a wow, there's not enough energy, or you're not using the right words. Because clients will go, wow, how are you able to do that? I've never heard anything like that.
Based off what Rob's saying, there's several examples here. So Tim's got an example or two of not price gouging, but pricing from Mariner as a competitor. I know how they price things. And as an RIA, they kind of have their hands cuffed, not necessarily a little bit, but, and then as a brokerage firm, our ability to kind of split out fixed income versus equity driven components of our portfolio. And I know price usually isn't something you discuss, but when you're getting hosed, I think that it's a competitive advantage. And then creative planning's angle, they're like almost all passive index investing, and they try to do everything. So estate planning, tax planning, and investments. Well, I went through our enthusiastically endorsed list, and I haven't finished the project yet, but a handful of our clients use creative planning for estate planning. It's a subsidiary company of Creative. And so, I mean, that there's a few examples of a threat, but we can also use it as an opportunity. It's something to discuss maybe more as a team when we look at strategy, because whoever we're going after, toe to toe, if you're in LinkedIn, you know, there are a few salespeople at Mariner that are going after the same people or Creative, and you can see them. And then I lost a prospect to Creative, and I kind of kicked myself for it, but that was, you know, it was about a little less than a year ago. But I think that if we talk a little bit more about as a team, maybe we can just explore exploiting that a little bit more.
Yeah, there's a saying that I use from that experience was, he who owns the plan owns the client. See, because they said, oh, don't worry, don't worry. We'll still use Merrill. Don't worry, we'll clear through you guys. Don't worry, don't worry. It was like a viper. That was like fox, you know? The little guy on his back going across the river. Don't worry, I won't eat you. And we learned, he who owns the plan owns the client. And so if you give them a chance to own any part of the plan, you might as well kiss the client goodbye. Now you can get them back, but you got to be a fanatic.
I like that idea. I mean, be a fanatic. I mean, I can really embrace that. Are you kind of saying too, Rob, that if you take, as part of our planning on what we would focus on, if you look at our, what we see as maybe our opportunities or threats and some as a team that's listed, that we might just take, see, all right, let's talk about how can we address this opportunity to turn this into reality. And here's the steps as part of our plan that we're going to do. And here's on the threats, some of the things you're talking about. Here's what we can do to whatever, attack it. And that's kind of how you're building. So you go through the analysis, then you're kind of building what you're doing the next year off of what you see are the prioritized pieces. Is that?
Yeah. Right? You got to figure out who you want. Who's your ideal client?
Yeah.
And then who is my competition? And if you don't know your competition cold, how can you beat them? You know, so people are not that, frankly, they're not that smart. All right. It's out there what they do. Okay. You should be able to tell, every team member should know everything about these two competitors. Strengths and weaknesses. What do they do? What don't they do? What do they do well? What don't they do? I bet they don't do 12-4-2. Okay. Great. I bet they don't do rapid response to problems. Oh, but we are, but we're not telling anybody about it. Are you crazy? That's what you got to be. You got to be absolutely nuts. We have a rapid response team, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution, any and all problems. Wow. How are you able to do that? Because we got a terrific team. Okay. We're very thorough. We have great process. 12-4-2, great process. Agenda, executive summary. Do they have that? No. Why? Because they're lazy, right? That's the truth. They don't want to do it because they're lazy or they don't know about it. Mm-hmm. And so you do it. It's hard, but you do it and you kick their tail. You know, I grew up with three brothers. You never know, right? And I'm told I'm an incredibly competitive guy. Okay. I think I'm kind of like California laid back, real relaxed. Now, I'm really intense and I'm very competitive. And if you put me in a situation where I can make our competition into the enemy, I will turn them into the devil themselves. Okay. Now I'll never say anything negative about the enemy to a client. I will just tell them how fabulous we are. And I won't leave anything out that is in their best interest when I present it. And this is what you should look for, Mr. and Mrs. Client. Go to all of our competition and just ask them about their service model. What is your service model? Oh, really? We don't have one. They'll all talk about their performance and their financial planning, but they'll never talk about their service because they don't have one. None. We've got the ABCD model or EFG model. Great. What is that? Well, you get a birthday card if you're a C client. Terrific. Oh, that's wonderful. How do I know what I am? We have no, I don't know. Do you know? No. Do you know? No, I don't know. What's our service model? Oh, we don't have one. Oh, okay. Okay. If you don't explain it, you're giving it up. You must explain it or you're giving it away and getting no credit for it and doing all the work. Worst thing is to do the work and get no credit. I'm sorry.
Do you know anyone that's taken, like I got another email from a client of mine last week who basically said, thanks for checking in today on what we were doing. I think it's this time, especially, you know, it's Thanksgiving or whatever. I have valued so much over the last, you know, X amount of years, this time. I mean, it was a couple of things. Do you know anyone that's ever taken like maybe a, I don't know, part like kind of quotes from clients or something, or testimonials, if that's kind of what it is, or if that's effective, not effective, somehow like in our pitch book or something where it's referenced? Because I have quite a few of those that people have offered and volunteered. They're unsolicited comments.
Your firm tells you that you cannot use those. Okay. We have them everywhere, right? Mm. I've got a book full of them. I sold you a book full
right.
of them.
Right. I know. Right. You're right. Yeah.
So write a book with all the great stories of all the people you've helped for your whole career. Yeah. And why it makes sense to have an advisor, an accountability coach as an advisor. Write a brochure, write an article. There's your answer. Yeah, try and get it published. I hope you can. I think you can. I got mine published in spite of the fact I worked at Merrill Lynch. My mm-hmm. first one, second one, I didn't need to ask them permission. Well, actually, I did, because I used mostly UBS people. And Bob Mahon gave me permission to do it and use their names, which was cool. And then they rescinded it after he left. Mm-hmm. So I had to use just their names without the UBS part of it. But that's okay. So, yeah, it works. I think we're out of time, but... And I digress. So make sure you guys keep me on track on these calls. And so have questions. Okay. So the next time we get together, either report in based on the 5-star model and your business plan, or have a series of questions all written out that you want to ask me. And that will keep us on track, because otherwise I'll go into, you know, whatever's on my mind.
Is our topic, are we supposed to be, like, if I look at somewhere here, didn't I see like one of the months, are we supposed to be like creating a mission statement, or am I
at this stage it's kind of up to you. I think it's really important, but when I take a team and try and do it that isn't really focused, it tends to really can get kind of sloppy. So yeah, it's up to you guys, but yes, you can either report it in the 5-star model and we can be just very matter of fact about goals, achievement, accountability coach, or we can get into Larry Wilson used this triangle. All right. Which was, based on values over here, your purpose over here. So you got your two parts of the triangle, and then your vision up here. Those are the essential items for a team: to have your purpose, your values, and then your vision. And the leader should be reemphasizing the vision all the time. This is our vision of where we're going to be in 5 years. And make it, and say it so many times, everybody on the team knows it's true. It just knows it's going to happen. Okay? Or in 2 years, or in 1 year, or in 3 years. That's kind of up to you. But it should be something that's, you know, really... really gets everybody's attention. It really is going to make a difference. If you're the CEO of a company, that's your game. That's the game you're playing. Because they don't set, it's easy when you're an NFL coach. You know what? You want to win the Super Bowl. Okay, it's pretty simple. But when you're CEO of a company, you got to create your own Super Bowl. And you guys have to create your own Super Bowl. What is the winning the game for you? What does that look like?
Okay. All right. And if I just for 2 seconds or whatever, real quick, could you just for me sometime whenever you get it, look at that, what I sent you.
Yes.
And kind of read it. And if you can just a quick little, you're on the right track. This is not right. You know, just, it's an observation, not spending any time on it because we get a lot of value by forcing us to do this. And I just want to know if you say you're on the right track with this, stay with it. Or if you'd say, think about this direction instead, not a lot of time. If that would help, then we could move on to some other stuff. Our next call.
Yeah. I'll have that for your next call. And if not, if I get inspired, I'll send it to you directly.
Well, I hope you're inspired. Okay.
I'll send it to Andy too and make him do some homework on it.
I will be good.
Yeah. We'll collaborate.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. But thanks, Rob. Andy, see you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Stay around.